This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom, and it's Will Goodman today. I want to start off by saying I was in jail. Imagine, a priest in jail. Oh, yes, I was in jail because I was carried out bodily into a paddy wagon and put in jail because we were outside on the street sitting down so that women would not go and kill their children. So they put me in jail. You know what my mother said? None of our relatives went to jail, only the priest. Well, you know what? I'm in good standing because Jesus was in jail. Peter was in jail. Paul was in jail. Oh, they were in jail for the love of God, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every day, as you hear me at 11:30 in the morning, on 9 o'clock in the evening, every day they are killing children at Planned Parenthood. Oh, yes, they are killing children. And we don't even pray about it anymore. That's just the way it is. We kill children. How sick it is that we allow people to kill their children. And you know what? We could have stopped it when it first began because we had people that came to church. And we could have gone to the abortion mills and prayed the rosary or any other prayer or read the scriptures. But people said when abortion became legal, who will have an abortion? Well, I'll tell you who did. Millions and millions and millions of women who have been affected by abortions, and millions and millions and millions of babies that are not living anymore. Who will have an abortion? Well, I tell you, it's easier to have an abortion as a little child, 13 years old, than it is to have a headache and I can't give her an aspirin. Sick. We live in a world that's sick. And you know, the church needs to proclaim the truth about life. And not many people do. Not many people. We don't want to offend people. I tell you, Jesus offended people. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that offended a lot of people. But you want to know what? It's true. I don't want to offend people, but if something is true, they're going to be offended. And let them be offended. Maybe they'll think about what I'm talking about. One last thing before I ask Will to speak. I remember many years ago being outside an abortion mill. It was Christmas, and a mother, a daughter, and a child appeared at Planned Parenthood. The mother and the child said, we're going Christmas shopping. The young girl went up to have an abortion. When she came down, she was sick. So what did we do? We got her Coca-Cola to ease her stomach. We prayed with her, the little girl that had an abortion. We prayed with her. We told her that she was going to be all right. We told her that God loved her and that God had plans for her life. You see, where is the church, the prophetic church? We kill our children every day at Planned Parenthood, and nothing is said. Nothing is said. Well, we don't want to offend people because maybe somebody out in the congregation had an abortion. Not maybe, surely someone in the congregation has had an abortion. And they need to know that there's forgiveness. They need to know that the blood of Jesus speaks louder than their abortion. We need to know those things. We don't talk about those things because we don't want to offend people. Well, you know what? I've been on the radio 41 years by God's grace. I've been here and I have stood up for life because Jesus has told me to stand up for life. Because if they do this to women and children that are in the womb, you know who's next? The elderly. And that's me. I'm getting there now. I might be next. I might be next. We need to protect the women and the babies within their womb. And the church has not done very much about it. That's real. That's real. That calls us to repent. You see, the prophet tells the priest to repent. Well, I'm the prophet today, and I tell the church and myself, repent for not doing anything to stop the killing of children and the maiming of women. I need to repent. I need to repent. And my repentance always draws the gift of God toward me. God does not condemn. God loves people. You might have had 7 abortions. I want to tell you a couple of things. Your children are in the front of the throne of God praying for you. You might have had 7 abortions, but there's forgiveness for you. Oh, yes, there's forgiveness for you. God doesn't hold it against you after you ask for forgiveness and repent. We need to let people know. My last point, when I was a priest in Peabody, I preached a pro-life message one Sunday. And you know what? Some people didn't like it. They're supposed to be Catholics. I preached a pro-life message that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that every life is sacred to the Lord Jesus Christ. People didn't like it. Too bad. Too bad. You know, if you've listened to this radio show for years, that I've been very vocal about life. I've been very vocal because you know what? When I die, God will say, why did you not stand up for life? When I die, I will be before the judgment seat of God. My Lord, I will continue to talk about the need to nurture life, not abort life. Nurture life, not abort life.
Thank you so much, Father. Just very edified by your words and even more so by your actions. We who are involved in rescue, there's an organization called Red Rose Rescue. You can find us online at redroserescue.com. We have a Facebook and Instagram page. And our efforts are to share Christ's love at those places where the babies are being murdered, those places where the women are being exploited, and where fathers have no voice. And we build upon the shoulders of giants like you, Father, people in the 70s, 80s, and 90s who rescued by the thousands. For some of you who have never heard of rescue as a mission, you can look up Operation Rescue Boston. You can look up Operation Rescue National. Through those early years, tens of thousands of Christians were united together following Jesus' commandment that says, rescue those who are being taken to slaughter. These are the words from sacred scripture, to rescue the little babies. And rescuers will place their bodies between the babies and the violent weapons that will dismember them and kill them. And so, Father, you really were a living witness to Jesus' own words in the gospel. No greater love has a man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And you, Father, and the members of Operation Rescue Boston, there was Bishop Lynch and Bishop Vaughn, Father Grishel, a lot of great rescuers, Joe Scheidler, Randall Terry, Pat Mahoney, wonderful names, Jeff White. So many people who followed Jesus in laying down their life for love of their friends. And Jesus loved the children so much, they were so eager to see him. He said, "Let the little children come to me." I'm sure all of us have seen pictures or stained glass windows with the children smiling, with them, the little ones on his lap. He loves these babies so much, and he doesn't want us to forget about them. The Lord could bring this abortion holocaust to an end immediately, but he has called each of us to take action and to rescue those children who are in danger. And some are called to be rescuers, like Father have, and risk unjust arrest. Others may be called to pray in sidewalk counsel outside of the abortion centers. Some may be called to educate young people in the virtues of chastity and modesty. Some people may work to bring recovery and healing to those who have had abortions. For those who may be listening, an organization called Rachel's Vineyard and Entering Canaan. These are two ministries that help men and women to recover and find the Lord's healings after abortions. And of course, we need people rescuing children by working for just laws. And people also who rescue women and children by providing maternity homes and pregnancy resources and free medical care. So there are many ways to be involved in this rescue work. But back in October of 2020, I was involved with about 9 other rescuers, and we were at a very late-term abortion facility in Washington, D.C. And there at the Washington Surgery Center, operated by Cesar Santangelo, the abortionist, we were there on a day when he was performing late-term abortions. This facility will kill the babies up to birth and even after birth. They'll do what's called a live birth abortion, in which in the late term they will induce labor where the baby is born premature and that baby will be given no medical attention and will die right there in the facility. And so on this day that we were there, I was out in the hallway with literature and help information, and I saw a woman visibly pregnant get off the elevator. And this woman, she did not look well. And her husband was very concerned, and I was trying to give them information. And in the midst of the conversation, her face was pale, and I could tell she was in distress. She kind of eased her way down the wall in this office building just outside the abortion center, and I asked if she was okay, and she looked at me with sad eyes, and she shook her head no. I went from the hallway a few feet away, where two friends of mine who were praying in the waiting room, along with others, but these two friends I thought of in particular, Paulette Harlow and Jean Marshall, because they're both retired nurses with decades of experience in caring for people. And I came to them and I said, "We have problems in the hallway. There's a woman in distress." Jean and Paulette talked. Jean got up immediately, and Paulette said, Go and see her." Jean got up immediately to start talking to this mother and reassuring her and letting her know help's on the way. Jean talked to her, tried to say, "Remain calm, remain seated, we'll get you help." She turned over her shoulder and said, "Call 911. So I didn't have a phone on me. I went into the waiting room and said to the rescuers who were praying there, "Please pray for this mother, call 911. And no one had a cell phone. So I asked the abortion staff at the receptionist window. I said, "There's a woman in distress in the hallway. She's having problems. Please call an ambulance." And this abortion worker looked at me with disgust and said, "There are no problems here. You're the only problem." And it was shocking. It was utterly shocking. This woman was going into labor at this late-term abortion facility. And while we were trying to get help for them, the staff was shoving pro-lifers out of the way through a doorway in the hall. They pulled her and her husband in, and that poor little baby was killed, and that mother was traumatized. And we were there to bring peace, but the abortion workers were the ones bringing violence. And it all started, in fact, about an hour or so earlier than that. We had planned to go in and pray inside the waiting room, and some of us would be counseling in the hallways, speaking there. And as soon as some of the elderly ladies and elderly men and a few young people walked into the waiting room, they were attacked immediately by members of the abortion staff, who essentially started to shove them, kind of ambush them, push them, screaming. They took a mop handle with a metal end and started hitting. I saw them hitting Paulette and Jean, and Joan, rather. I saw them shoving Jean. Here was an older woman in her 70s with a bad hip condition, and these brutes at the abortion center were just shoving her. She's saying, "Stop assaulting me." The others are saying, "Stop with the assault." And she's holding herself in the frame of the doorway just to try to stop from being violently shoved to the ground. Paulette fell to the ground, and the others were getting jostled around. I was saying, "Stop assaulting them." They shoved me. And then they came out with this really loud emergency, like a horn blower that you might see on a ship or something like that. And they were blowing it in our ears. And, you know, and we told them to stop. You know, we forgave them, but we tried to, you know, just really encourage them. You need to stop killing babies. There's help for you. There's peace in Jesus. There's an organization that will help you find a new job, but you're working to kill people. And kill people they did. Not too much later, a woman who was very close to delivering her child, visibly pregnant, came in. She wasn't interested in the brochures that I had. She went into the waiting room, saw the people praying. She came back out and tried to enter the staff door. Now, the police were there at this very time. And one of our fellow rescuers, Heather Idani, was standing right in front of the door where I had been standing just prior to that. And the woman was saying, "Let me in. I want to have this abortion." And the police officer came over to Heather and said, "You're going to have to move." And Heather said, "Look at her. She's so full of life, this woman and her child. She needs help, not abortion." And the police officer, you know, didn't arrest Heather. But, you know, this woman was demanding that she would get the abortion. She went in and she climbed through the receptionist window. So badly did she want to have the abortion. And we heard from people out in the street that her boyfriend had yelled at her, slammed the door, just left her on the sidewalk. I mean, this is a woman who was already going through something terrible and now something even worse. And we know she went through with the abortion, and we pray for her. We pray for the mothers who that day killed their babies and for the abortionists who killed them. And it's just, it's real exploitation when women feel like they have no other options but to kill, that there's not help for them, that there's not compassion for them. But these abortion centers take advantage of these women in tough situations and say, "Give us hundreds of dollars and we'll take away your problem." Well, they're not taking away any problems. They're taking the money and adding to problems. They're taking the money and they're killing the babies. Mm-hmm. And we have to, as Christians, as Catholics, as people of goodwill, to stand up and say, God's commandment is immutable. Thou shall not kill. That applies to all of us. And not only does Jesus say that we must not kill, but he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." To love these mothers and fathers in distress that are tempted by the devil to abort. Love these babies who have no one to help them. This is a two-pronged approach in rescue. We interpose to protect the child and the mother from the violence, but we also come with real concrete material assistance. So it's not just saying no to the killing. It's saying yes to life. Yes, to God's precious gift. He loves these little children. He loves his plan of motherhood and fatherhood and families. This is the Lord's rescue mission. And God is working to overcome this abominable Holocaust that has killed over 65 million children in our country. And it's ultimately a spiritual battle, as you know, Father. This is a satanic battle, and we cannot win this battle without prayer and fasting. Scripture says some demons cannot be cast out but by prayer and fasting, and the demons of child sacrifice are alive and well in our nation, and are killing millions of children every year and have been doing so for over 50 years. And in part, it's happened on our watch. Lord, we turn to you and we beg you for mercy that we haven't done more. Lord Jesus, please forgive us. Please forgive your church for not standing up to help mothers and children and to defend babies. We have, Lord, we have dropped the ball, but please send us your Holy Spirit that we might pick up the ball and pick up the gospel, pick up the cross and share your love and intervene to rescue those being taken to death. Lord, please guide us in this spiritual battle. Please use us however you want to share your love. And we ask you, Jesus, please to bring swift protection to these precious unborn children and these mothers and fathers that you've given this tremendous gift of life. And Lord, help us as your followers to feel the burden of responsibility, to hear echoing in our hearts that command to rescue the children being taken to death, not to stand idly by while the innocent are being slaughtered. Lord, send us your Holy Spirit that we might love one another as you have loved us, even unto the cross. Lord, we ask this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. I tell you, who would have ever thought in the 50s that we would be killing children and millions of children? And who would have ever thought that it would not even be mentioned in Catholic churches, in Protestant churches, in evangelical circles? Who would ever thought? I tell you, we need to go out to Planned Parenthood. Go out. My two friends from St. John the Baptist Quincy went out. They had never done it before. They went out to Planned Parenthood with their rosary beads and prayed until they had to go home. They felt a call to do this. I didn't ask them to do it, but they felt a call to go out and pray in front of Planned Parenthood. I tell you, it's a sad thing. It's a sad that we in the church have grown used to baby killing. We've grown used to it because we don't mention it anymore in many places. We don't pray for it anymore in many places. We don't want to offend people. Well, I tell you, God is offended by us not doing anything to keep alive the wonderful babies in the womb and their mothers. And you know what? This is a woman's movement. Because when a woman has an abortion, so many times she's tormented for what she's done. Oh, but there's forgiveness. Thanks be to God. The blood of Jesus, our Lord, speaks highly and more eloquently than the blood of righteous Abel. There is forgiveness in confession of sins. Forgiveness. And you know what happens to the person that had an abortion? And when she experiences forgiveness, she becomes a pro-life person. She goes out to the clinic and prays. She goes out with the gospel and reads. I tell you, this is happening right now, as I'm speaking right now. Right this moment, they are killing children at Planned Parenthood on Commonwealth Avenue. This is happening right now. And I tell you, we need to do something about this. We need not only to hear us talk about it, but to do something about it. It would be a wonderful thing if people would go to Planned Parenthood on Commonwealth Avenue and pray the rosary. It is a fact that when people are outside the abortion clinic, people do not go in, some people, because they're ashamed. It's a fact. And what's happening? Not much. Not much. We don't even pray about it anymore. It's become part of the fabric of the 21st century. Abortion. Well, abortion is killing a child. Abortion destroys a woman because innately she knows that this is my baby. Innately she knows that. That's exactly true. We should never, ever, ever want to hurt people that have had abortions. We want to get them help. We want to get them forgiveness. We want to get them prayer. We want to let them know that Jesus forgives them, that he shed his blood for the women who have had abortions and for the men who have agreed to do it. Jesus is all merciful. Jesus is all loving. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus is the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. May his name be praised forever. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.